The subject is character development. This is part two. Our objective is the understanding of character. And secondly, understanding what it takes to develop character. Text, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 to verse 13. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. By way of introduction, we made some generalizations in the first service, and I want to mention them again in this second service. First, we said that the most significant impact of Christianity is character transformation. The most important thing about Christianity is not attendance to church. It's change in character. Read Acts chapter 11 verse 26, where the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Second, we said, the followers of Christ are known by their fruits, by their fruit or character, and not just by their church attendance. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. So the followers of Christ are known by their fruit or character, not just by church attendance. It doesn't matter how much church a person attends. If your character does not show that you are a Christian, you are not. Three, the work of Christian ministry is the development of godly character. A major assignment of the pastor, major assignment of the prophet, the apostle, is to develop character. Church is not just a place to come to look for miracles. It's a place to come to become a better person. Said he gave them apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That was number three. And number four, we said that Christian character development is a process. It's not something that happens swiftly and overnight. It's a process. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Having said all of that, what are the factors that facilitate Christian character development? The points are going to be the same as were in the first service, but the sub-points will be titled differently. Number one is a sense of vision and purpose for godly character. A sense of vision and purpose. We read Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 in the first service, where Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not defile himself. Now, in this second service, we are adding Genesis chapter 37, verse 2. So these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. He was different from them. What does a sense of vision and purpose for life and godly character refer to? First, it involves knowing the kind of person you want to be remembered for when your life on earth is over. What kind of person do I want to be remembered for when my life is over? A sense of purpose is knowing the life you are on earth to live and knowing what you want to be remembered for when your life is over. What does it mean? You see, we live in a world today where there are people who have died and they cannot be forgotten. And there are people who are alive and can't be remembered for anything because of a lack of a sense of purpose, a sense of vision. Secondly, it implies being a person that is not under the control of the crowd, but under the control of God. Your life is not under the control of the crowd, but under the control of God. You don't live your life at the instance of society. You live your life from God. The Bible said in Exodus chapter 23, verse 2, he said, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. You have made up your mind that the multitude shall not control your life. That is what it means. You can never be a person of character until you are free from the control of the multitude. You can never be a person of character until you know what you want to do with your life. That was point number one. A sense of vision and purpose. Number two is sitting on and living in the Word of God. Sitting on and living in the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 67. It said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Hallelujah. I went astray, and if I don't go astray, it's because I have kept your word. Does that make sense? I went astray before, then I jammed trouble. Now I have kept your word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Concerning Jesus, he said that he might sanctify and cleanse the church by the washing of water by the word. Feeding on and living in the word of God. What does it do? Two things. A, the Word of God impacts thought, and thought impacts lifestyle. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 to 9,
He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord of hosts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Then he went down to, I think, verse 12 and said, "So shall my word be." So the word of God changes thought. Verse 11. It changes thought. And thought affects lifestyle. Secondly, the word of God is a discerner of the motives of people. It discerns motives. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Verse 13. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." The word of God checks your motives. It checks your motives, and by checking your motives, checks your actions. It checks your motives and checks your motions. So to be in touch with the word is to be under control. That was number two. Number three is living in God's presence in prayer and communion. Living in God's presence in prayer and communion affects character. Luke chapter 9, verse 28 to 29. "And it came to pass, about an 8 days after these things, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering as he prayed." His countenance was altered. Take note of two things. Spiritual fire generated at the place of prayer purifies the garments of the saint. Spiritual fire generated at the place of prayer, it purifies the garments of the saints. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed and his garment became white. At the place of prayer, your garment is whitened. That is why prayer keeps people from sin, and sin keeps people from prayer. Secondly, the place of prayer is the place to seek the face of God. And what you look at determines what you look like. The place of prayer is the place to seek the face of God. And what you look at determines what you look like. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 18. It says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image. As we look at him, we are changed to be like him." What you look at determines what you look like. At the place of prayer, we are seeking the face of God. And as we look at his face, we are changed into the same image. Is that making sense to anybody? Number four is living and flowing in the Spirit. Living and flowing in the Spirit. In the first service, we saw Galatians chapter 5, verse 22.
where he told us about the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He said, against such, there is no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit, the quality of the Spirit. Now we are looking at Romans chapter 1 and in verse 4. And he said, Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Two things are clear here. First, the proof, all right, let me say it like this. The Holy Spirit is the character development agency of the kingdom. Is the character development agency. And so, the proof of walk with the Spirit is the improvement of character. The improvement of character. When a person is devoid of character, he doesn't have a genuine walk with the Spirit. Speaking in tongues alone is not enough. We must speak in character. Is God speaking to somebody here? Blasted in tongues and went and cheated. Blast blew in tongues and still lying. Blowing in tongues and still coming to church from man's house. Blowing in tongues and still drinking alcohol. The proof of walk with the Spirit is the improvement of character. Secondly, the assignment of the Spirit is the elevation of the spirit of man over the flesh of man. The assignment of the Holy Spirit is the elevation of the spirit of man over the flesh of man. It is the assertion of the dominance of the Spirit over the flesh. The Holy Spirit came to assist us, to make us more spiritual than we are carnal. Am I communicating at all? So, when you pray in the Spirit a lot, it affects your character. Point number 5. Guard your mind. Watch the intakes and inputs of your life. Guard your mind and watch what enters your eyes and what enters your ears. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. It said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the living God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So there is a thought syllabus. Take note of two things. One, or A, the seed of thought is what produces the harvest of character. The seed of thought. When you sow a thought, you reap a character.
So you are not helping your character until you are handling your thought. Hello? You are not helping your character until you are handling your thought. Because the seed of thought produces the harvest of character. People steal because they were thinking about it. Somebody became a prostitute because she has been thinking about it. You have not helped your character until you have handled your thought. Secondly, impute determines outcome in life. Until impute is handled, outcome has not been helped. Impute, what do you watch? What do you hear? You can't be watching bad films and be a good person. You can't. You can never be watching bad films and end up as a good person. You can't. If you are not bad now, since you have been embodied by the films, you will soon become bad, then very bad, then very terrible. How many of you know that armed robbers rehearse some films? There are movies they watch at times to watch some actions that they need to make. Hallelujah. What you watch, what you listen to. You've heard songs like, I am bad, I'm bad, I'm bad. There are such songs, right? Huh? Okay. Okay. Jack, Master Justice sang that song. I am bad. I am bad. How can you listen to you are bad and become good? Even the demons of badness will flow into your spirit from that sound. Because sights and sounds carry spirits. That was why the Bible said, as he spake to me, the spirit entered. Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 2. Whether they are right spirits or wrong spirits, the things you watch, the things you hear affect your life. That was point number 5. Alright, number 6. Completely avoid the wrong company and association. Completely. 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 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33. It said, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Completely avoid the wrong company and association. Two reasons. One, the environment of your life affects the development of your life. The environment of your life affects the development of your life. To be wrongly surrounded is to be wrongly developed. There are places they call inner city in America. They are the slumish areas like the jungles and those kind of places. A lot of crime there. Most children who grow up, they end up in crime. Because the environment of your life affects the development of your life. If your friend is a thief, it is either you are a thief, or thiefish, or thief-free. There is something about theft around you. You are You don't mind the stealing. Your friend, your best friend is a prostitute. And she comes and be telling you all the time about her exploits with and you say you don't do the same. It's either you are a prostitute or you are prostitutious or you are prostitutive. Are you following what I'm saying here today? It is not possible. It is not possible. It's not possible. I don't have a single drunkard that is close to me. With which mouth will he drink it? Very important. The environment of your life affects the development of your life. Just ensure that you plant your life in the right environment. Number two. I like what we said in the first service where we said never manage the wrong association. That what you manage can damage you. It was very, very exciting. And I wanted you to hear it. But the number two here says, never feel right about what does not feel right. The meaning of it is, there is somebody that is a so-called friend. Your mind is not, your heart does not really agree with him. In your spirit, you are not free. Don't force yourself to be free. Give such a person gap. Are you ready for this? When you ignore your feelings, you invite your pains. Say that again. When you ignore your feelings, you invite your pains. The person you don't feel correct about, that you are still managing around your life, will give you pain. You don't feel right about the man, yet you went ahead to marry. That is pain you have signed for. You don't feel right about the woman, the girl. Yeah, they say, okay, people change later. Say, so people change later. Na lie, yo. They can change later, but before they change, you suffer. Where? That is if you live to see the change. If you still remain alive until the change happens. So that they don't change at the burial ground. God forbid. Is God speaking to anybody here? If you didn't hear anything today, when you ignore your feelings, you invite your pain. Your feeling says, don't go on this journey. You still went. Don't do this business with this man. You still release money. You ignore your feelings. You invite your pain. You don't understand that when somebody's leg is on fire and he ignore the leg, ignore the pain. Let me remain there small. It's not only receiving pain, it's receiving leg ulcers. Hallelujah. That was point number 7. Please. Be careful with who you call friend. That was number 6. Number 7,
be ready to learn, open to change. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2 is still handy here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the message of the living God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen to this as I want to rush. The absence of meekness, that is what it means to be ready to learn. The absence of meekness closes the door to change. It closes the door. Nobody can change who is not meek, who is not ready to learn. The absence of meekness closes the door to change. And secondly, where the willingness to change is absent, character improvement is impossible. Anybody who is not willing to change can never improve in character. That is, here am I, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, I'm ready to change. Me and my wife, we have done marriage counselings. Tire. Somebody will start with some couple, I think from 9 o'clock till after 12 midnight. Till about after 12 midnight, we're talking. Everybody talked his own. We thought they have heard. They went and still divorced. I heard the preaching of God's servant, Pastor Ayo Risa Jaffa, where he said he was counseling a man who has a problem with his wife. I don't know whether the man was a bishop or something like that. He was counseling. He said he sat with them for 4 hours. He was talking. The man was jotting down the points. And he left there straight and divorced his wife. That was the end of the paper. We placed a man and his wife on fasting in this church. 3 days fast, so that marital problem can be solved. At the end of the 3 days, we said, okay, come, let's pray and break the yoke. The mother said, no. No. Doesn't think the man can change. Till tomorrow, the no is no. That is to your pastor and his wife. Say, what are you doing in the church? Please beware who you marry to start with. Where the willingness to change, okay, even if it will not work, let them pray first. Let the prayer be made first and give it a try first. Where the willingness to change is absent, character improvement is impossible. That was point number 7. Number 8. Be open to feedback and correction. Let somebody be able to tell you, especially those who love you, looks like you are becoming too big, too proud, too arrogant. Looks like you are becoming too wasteful. Are you sure you are not beginning to talk too much? Be open to feedback and correction. Acts chapter 23, verse 4 to 5. Paul the apostle stood before the high priest one day. Okay, let's start from verse 1, so you can understand.
And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the high priest, that was when they were, Paul was under trial. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him in the mouth. Hit the man in the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, "God shall smite you, you whitewashed wall. For you sit down to judge me after the law, and are you commanding me to be smitten contrary to the law?" And Paul was a very brilliant lawyer. He knew the constitution. "Why are you judging me based on the constitution and you are violating the constitution?" And they that stood by said, "Are you talking to God's high priest like that?" Then Paul said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people." As big as Paul was, somebody lower corrected him. He accepted. "I'm sorry. I am so sorry. Even though the man said the wrong thing, I shouldn't have replied him like that." Be open to feedback and correction. And take note of 2 points again that we shall speak here. First of all, again, those who are closed to feedback are closed to change. Those who are closed to feedback are closed to change. It is not possible for you. Nobody talks to you. Nobody tells you anything. You don't want to hear anything. If people don't say you are doing well, you are not ready to hear. Those are people close to change. And secondly, to avoid those who avoid the way of correction have settled for the way of corruption. Those who avoid the way of correction settle for the way of corruption. If you cannot be corrected, you must be corrupted. Your life, your destiny must be corrupted if you can't be corrected. Number 9, be determined, don't give up. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Paul the apostle speaking said, "But I keep under my body, I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I keep under my body, I bring it into subjection." Be determined. Don't give up. And this was what we said in the first service. Maybe you are battling with alcoholism and you stopped for 1 year. Then suddenly, by mistake or by anything, you saw yourself in it again. So maybe accidentally once. And the devil says, "Just remain there, you can never change." No, be determined. You had problem with men or problem with women before. And then the temptation came across you brutally. Maybe you almost fell and haven't fallen. And the devil said, "Don't just keep on struggling. Just go ahead. God knows, you know, he's the one who made you." No, sir. Be determined. Two things I want to say. First of all, never agree to remain in a falling state. Arise, shine. Isaiah 61. Never agree to remain or settle in a falling state. Rapidly rise up and move on. Secondly, persistence will always guarantee victory. Persistence. You made up your mind to persist. You made up your mind to keep keep at it. You made up your mind to keep on keeping on.
Persistence will always guarantee victory. Someone say amen. In conclusion, all right, number 10, rely on grace. Apply continually for the grace to live right. Lord, I apply for grace. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. It said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Please take note of two things. One, grace constructs life and character. It constructs life, constructs character. We read Acts 20:32 first. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to construct you. Character construction can happen by the agency of grace. Secondly, grace facilitates the ability to say no to wrong. It facilitates the ability to say no to wrong. The ability to say no to wrong. Maybe when you were a sinner, you couldn't say no to anything. But now grace comes and says no. The ability to say no to wrong. In conclusion, let's go with the first one. There must be the decision to live right in order to live right. You must decide it. You must decide it. Daniel 1:8, and Daniel proposed in his heart. You must decide it. Second, the choice must be backed up with action. I will read two scriptures and then we end there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13, where we read in the first service. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You must walk and walk at it to become better. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness, somebody say do. So righteousness is something to do. It's not just a gift. Everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So you make up your mind. Lord, I'm going to trust you not to tell a lie. I'm going to trust you not to live a double standard life. I'm going to trust you to live straight. And you apply for that grace and you make the choice. And even if you are confronted, you refuse to collapse. You step up and keep on moving. Is there somebody here that is about to move? Say a louder amen. Amen. Say the loudest amen. Amen. Stand up with the louder shout of amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God has spoken to you again. Say amen. Amen. Lift up your two hands and lift up your voices and let us appreciate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let us worship him.
Let us honor him. Let us adore him. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Father, we give you the worship. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Thank you. And thank you. And thank you. And thank you. And thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands and say, Father, I apply for grace. It is my decision to live right. And today, I receive the grace to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. To do righteousness. I receive that grace and I receive it now in the name of Jesus. Be upstanding and just speak up. Open your mouth and speak to God. Be taking that song. The communion position will be taken. Everyone here today is saying to me, Pastor, I have the need to make my ways right with God. I have the need to have forgiveness for my sins. I want Jesus to be Lord over my life. I want to be forgiven my sins. I want to live for God. I want to live for Jesus. Maybe you backslid and you want to return back. Maybe you fell and the devil says, just remain there. No need to struggle. That devil is a liar. Stand up on your feet and come forward. Maybe you are bound by an addiction. You are tied by a lifestyle. And you need the help to live right. Pick your Bibles also and your bags. And quickly come forward and let's pray. I pray for the communion in the name of Jesus. The grace that he came to release for us be released for you. The grace to live for God. The grace to do his will. The grace to live in character of uprightness be released upon you now. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So shall it be in Jesus' precious name. Go ahead, take your seat, counselors, please. Oh, sorry. Communion servants, go ahead. Place your right hand on your chest, just a few on your knees. And say after me, Lord Jesus, I come before you today. To hand over my life to you, I ask for the forgiveness of my sins. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. From today, I go forward ever, backward never. Grace to live for you, Lord, I receive it now. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for you today, I declare the hold of your enemy broken. And grace to live for God be released upon you in Jesus' name. Counselors, please go with them. That you are alive by miracle. How many of you know that there are people who are surprised that you are still alive? By what they have tried to do. Bad will, hatred, bitterness, evil wish. But you are shielded. And whatever they wish for you will multiply on their head. Anybody wishing you to die before your time will die that death.
take your seat. Stretch your hands and let's take that song again.
I prophesy upon your hands. I decree that your harvest will look for you from the north and the south and the east and the west. In Jesus' name. Lift up your hands. So shall it be. Bad will, hostility will never succeed against you. The diverse circumstances of this life will never swallow you up. Every demonic plot or plan, altars from the waters, altars of witchcraft, occultic altars, the bondwoman altars, altars of witchcraft, altars of envy and jealousy, altars of bad will, altars of bad news, altars of bad report, altars of shame, altars of reproach set up against you, against your family, against the church, against the workforce, against the pastors, against their families. Today it is set on fire. What the enemy plans concerning you, concerning the church, concerning us, it will never work. It will never work. It will never see the light of day. In the name of Jesus, so shall it be released in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's a new day from this day and forever. Go forth. And the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit be and abide with us now and forevermore. And surely His goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life as you dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. What is your testimony? An open gate.